This is Tall Tales Time, legends of long ago, stories from the day before yesterday. Settle back in your chair and listen as we spin for you Tall Tales. Tonight, Nashville puts on a necktie party for Ned Buntline.
Yonder comes the high sheriff riding after me, riding after me, yes, riding after me. Yonder comes a high sheriff riding after me. Oh, it's Captain, I don't want to go. Been down to Frankfurt serving out my time, serving out my time, yes, serving out my time. Been down to Frankfurt serving out my time. Oh, it's Captain, I don't want to go.
Every now and then you meet up with a man with no more conscience to him than a copperhead. There's a fella, you say, who was just born to be hanged. Folks said that about Ned Buntline. And one March night in Nashville in the year 1846, they very nearly done it. Yes, sir. They staged a necktie party for Ned Buntline on the public square. First, though, before I tell any more about Ned Buntline's adventures, I'd better let you know who he was. For one thing, he was an actor. I guess he was about one of the worst actors who ever got on a stage.
Put down that pistol, Sam! Put it down, I say! No man threatens Cale Durg! Sam, I'm warning you! You don't come a step nearer! Stay your distance! You shouldn't have done it!
The critics disagreed. In print.
The actor who played Cale Durg was shot during the second act. That was two acts too late. You know, you'd think the man would be satisfied with writing a bad play, but not Ned Buntline. He compounds the felony. He acts, too.
The book critics sort of agreed with the theater critics. Ned Buntline was proud of the fact that he could and did write a 600-page book in 60 hours. That didn't impress the critics either.
I can turn them out as fast as folks can read them. Can any other writing man in the United States do that? I'll say not. And that's exactly why I'm worth $20,000 a year. $20,000. That's what it costs an editor when I sign my name to a writing contract. $20,000!
Oh, look at these books. Know the trash that this man Buntline grinds out like so many sausages. Mysteries and Miseries of New York. Bah! Quaker Saul, the idiot spy. Drivel. And here is his latest. The Rattlesnake, or the Rebel's Privateer. Aye, the youth of the country's debauched with such stuff.
Ned ignored the critics. He went right on writing thrillers and cashing the editor's huge checks. But there was one force he couldn't ignore, the law. And from the time he was 20 years old until he was 50, Ned Buntline was troubled by grand juries, sheriffs, policemen, and judges.
Yonder comes the high sheriff riding after me. Riding after me, yes, riding after me. Yonder comes the high sheriff riding after me. Oh, it's Captain, I don't want to go.
Prisoner at the bar, stand up. You have been found guilty as charged. Guilty of inciting riot in the disgraceful demonstration against a visitor, a distinguished visitor from England, and this court has a word of warning for you. By trying to set American against Englishman in this shameful riot, by stirring up the partisans of two famous actors, Edwin Forrest, an American, and William McCready, an Englishman, to actual fighting and the destruction of property at Astor Place here in the city of New York, you, sir, you have acted as an agent of the devil himself. I fine you $250 and sentence you to a year on Blackwell's Island. Take him away.
Been down to Frankfurt serving out my time, serving out my time, yes, serving out my time. Been down to Frankfurt serving out my time. Oh, it's Captain, I don't want to go.
So now you know a little more about Ned Buntline. but you still don't know very much. His own life story reads like one of those thrillers he used to write. I haven't told you the half of it yet. Well, I haven't even told you the man's real name. 'Twasn't Ned Buntline at all. He was christened Edward Zane Carroll Judson. The year of his birth was 1825. By the time his 11th birthday rolled around, Edward Judson ran away to sea. For another half century, almost until the day he died, Edward Judson, or Ned Buntline, or Colonel Buntline, he answered to all of those names, was an adventurer, a wanderer.
My daddy is an engineer, my brother drives a hack, my sister takes in washing, and the baby balls the jack, and it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering. I've been a wandering early and late, New York City to the Golden Gate, and it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering. Been working in the army, working on a farm, all I got to show for it is the muscle in my arm, and it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering.
Now, my editor wants to know where you and Buffalo Bill are going to travel next, Colonel Buntline.
Europe, boy. I'm taking Colonel Cody, that's Buffalo Bill, you know, yes, to dazzle and astonish our neighbors across the Atlantic.
Are all those things you write about Buffalo Bill true, Colonel Buntline?
Are they true? Of course they're true. You don't think for a minute, young fellow, that I'd stoop to misstatements of fact?
Weren't you once cited for heroism by President Van Buren, Colonel?
I certainly was, my friend. I was barely in my teens. I flung myself into the East River up there in New York City, and I saved this unfortunate man from what would have been a watery grave. Pulled him up from the slimy, clutching grasp of that dreadful river. I don't like to brag on myself, my boy, but the president referred to me as the nation's youngest and greatest hero. He made me a midshipman for that.
Well, it wasn't many years later, say about 1840, that you were almost strung up down in Nashville, Tennessee. Isn't that right, Colonel?
I don't care for your choice of words, young fellow. I wasn't strung up, as you put it so callously. I was very nearly deprived of my life by a mob, and without due process of law at that. But, since you've inquired, I'll tell you what happened.
He came to Tennessee as a hunter. All his life he loved stalking big game, in Florida, the Far West, Europe. And no sooner was he in Tennessee than, characteristically, he walked right into an adventure. Three murderers had escaped their guards and fled into the woods in Sumner County.
I was quick to act, I can tell you. I've always been able to keep a cool head in an emergency. I armed myself and went after the men, caught two of them, and incidentally collected a little reward. $600. Came in very handy, as I was without funds at the time.
He was a born promoter. Broke time and again, but never for long. In Nashville, he started a magazine full of adventure stories, yarns about pioneers and pirates. Called it Ned Buntline's Own Magazine, and in time he had friends and enemies. With one of those enemies, Robert Porterfield, Ned Buntline fought a duel.
Ready! Take aim! Fire!
Robert Porterfield fell, mortally wounded, and soon a mob was howling for Ned Buntline's scalp.
Mr. Porterfield was a brave man, but rash and hasty. Deeply, deeply do I regret the necessity of his death.
Whatever Buntline felt about his late opponent, it meant nothing to scores of wild-eyed, excited men who jammed the courtroom to see Buntline arrive. And as the tension reached the breaking point, Porterfield's brother whipped out a pistol and aimed at the prisoner at the bar.
Catch him! He's headed for the open window! He's headed for the open... There he goes!
The bullet missed Ned Buntline by a hair's breadth. He jumped through the window and ran. His heart was pumping like a trip hammer. Where could he hide? There was the City Hotel ahead. The mob would be at his heels in a matter of minutes. He dashed into the hotel and up into the third floor. The sheriff found him there and took him into custody. But at 10 o'clock at night, the angry, unreasoning mob hauled him out of the jail, looped a rope around his neck, and pulled him off his feet to dangle from an awning post on the public square. But the rope broke, or was cut, and Ned Buntline fell to the pavement. The mob, deflated and shaken by what it had done, ebbed and faded away. With his bruises and cuts patched up, Ned Buntline took a pen in one aching hand and wrote his own version of the affair to his publisher.
Well, he's been in another scrape, he says in this letter. I hasten to tell you that I am worth 10 men dead and hope to be ready within 2 or 3 months to go for the whole of Oregon. I cannot yet rise from my bed.
My left arm and leg are helpless, and my whole left side is sadly bruised. Out of 23 shots fired at me, all within 10 steps, I was slightly hit by only 3. I fell 47 feet on rocky ground, and not a bone cracked.
As God is my judge, I never wronged Robert Porterfield. My enemies poisoned his ears and belied me. I tried to avoid harming him and calmly talked to him while he fired 3 shots at me. Gentlemen, do you recognize what this letter is? Why, it's the first installment in a new Ned Buntline thriller, I'll warrant you. He'll be turning all this to good account, making fiction of it, if indeed it isn't that already. Oh, well, anyway, he continues, I did not fire until I saw that he was determined to kill me.
As soon as I can sit up, I shall publish a full account of the affair. The grand jury has found no bill against me. The mob was raised and composed of men who were my enemies, for reasons aside from the death of Mr. Porterfield. The rope did not break. It was cut by a friend. I believe I acted calmly and bravely. My enemies say so, at any rate.
The necktie party was over, and Edward Zane Carroll Judson, alias Ned Buntline, alias Colonel Buntline, pulled up stakes, shook the dust of Nashville from his coattails, and continued the strange, eventful, and sometimes illegal career. The career so nearly ended at the business end of a rope tossed over an awning post on Nashville's public square.
Old Joe Clark, the preacher's son, preached all over the plain. The only text he ever knew was High Low Jack in the Game. Fare thee well, old Joe Clark, fare thee well, I say. He'll follow me 10,000 miles to hear my fiddle play.
Ned Buntline bought a chest full of medals, awarded himself the title of colonel, and talked Buffalo Bill Cody into hiring him as press agent.
I won't go to old Joe's house, I've told you here before. He fed me in a big hog trough, and I won't go there anymore. He fed me in a big...
Ned Buntline and Buffalo Bill toured America and Europe for years, and Ned turned out more than 400 novels, serials, and plays. They made Buffalo Bill Cody immortal, and they made Ned Buntline rich. But he was never able to buy respectability. Buffalo Bill's fame never dimmed, but Ned Buntline gradually slipped into the shadows of history. He hated obscurity, and obscurity was his final reward.
Yonder comes a high sheriff riding after me, riding after me, yes, riding after me.
You've been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Southern legends. Tonight you heard the story of Ned Buntline, whose amazing career was almost ended by a necktie party in Nashville.
Been down to Frankfurt serving out my time.
Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey and comes to you every Tuesday evening at this same time. The ballad singer was George Grice. Tall Tales, produced by Marjorie Cooney, as a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services, and comes to you from WSN, the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, in Nashville, Tennessee.